world's climate negotiators are meeting in Germany this week and next week to continue efforts to reduce global carbon emissions. The aim, as set out in the Paris Declaration 2 years ago, is to prevent global average temperatures rising by more than 2 degrees by the end of the century. It's a worthy, but some say misguided, goal. Professor David Victor from the University of California is an expert in energy market regulation. I spoke with him earlier about why he believes the 2 degree target is unrealistic and why a new approach is needed.
I think the targets are helpful in giving people a sense of the overall level of ambition needed in the direction. After that, they stop being helpful. I'm very worried that there's been an almost obsessive focus on these bold international targets, like stopping warming well below 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels, which is the goal written into the Paris Agreement, the goal widely discussed by almost every country in the world. Everyone's talking about 2 degrees. And the reality is that we have waited so long to do something serious about the climate problem, and we have yet to begun reducing emissions globally, that 2 degrees is essentially impossible to meet. And 1.5 degrees is now a goal that a lot of people are talking about. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a UN body, is in the middle of a big report looking at 1.5 degrees. These are just fantasy goals. And so I'm really concerned that, you know, it's kind of fun to set ambitious goals, but the real work is about implementation, and the ratio of kind of talking about goals to real implementation remains misaligned.
So if you don't have a goal of 2 degrees, what do you have?
We don't know. You know, had we gotten serious about this problem 2 decades ago in the 1990s, when diplomacy was gearing up and we took a wrong turn and went down to the Kyoto Protocol and the legally binding strict approach of the Kyoto Protocol, which failed, had we not done that, but instead worked much more seriously on experimentation and the kinds of things that are going on right now, we might be in a position to be seriously looking at stopping warming at 2 degrees. We're not in that position right now, and we don't really know what's feasible. But that's the reality of the situation right now. And one thing that is really striking to me as a political scientist studying this is that more and more of the least developed countries have recognized this reality now. And so they're talking about emissions controls, but what they're really talking about is how do we get ready to adapt to the impacts of climate change, which for many countries are going to be very severe. Sea level rise, storm surges, extreme fires and events like that. I mean, the science is becoming pretty clear that the probability of those extreme events goes up as you torque the system more. And I think it makes everybody uncomfortable to say we don't know what goal is achievable, but that's a lot more honest than saying, well, let's all go out and stop warming at 2 degrees and then not go off and actually do it.
So are you saying it's better to have no target than a target that is something you're not going to be able to meet and isn't backed up by science, as you say?
I'm saying that we have now a set of goals and that the next step is a serious conversation about how to revise those goals. The probability that that serious conversation happens inside the Paris UN framework right now is zero, because no politician wants to be the first one to come out and say the goals everybody's been talking about aren't achievable. But that's where the scientific community comes in. I and lots of others have been writing a whole series of papers and doing a lot of work in this area to try and lay the intellectual foundations for how you'd begin to set better goals. One of the things we've learned is that setting goals in terms of temperature, global temperature, is actually highly misleading, because although temperature kind of makes intuitive sense, humans don't directly control the temperature. They control emissions, and then emissions build up in the atmosphere, and that indirectly affects temperature along with lots of other factors. And so that's the scientific debate that's underway that, frankly, the diplomatic and political community needs to pay closer attention to.
What is the best approach to try and get the world working together?
I think the Paris approach is pretty close to the best approach. What's different about Paris compared with before is that it shifts the power, the authority, back to the countries themselves to lay out their own plans, what are called nationally determined contributions. But the most important parts of it, which are these nationally determined contributions, are not binding. And I've just been worried over the last 30 years that people have looked to binding international law as a solution to a problem and forgotten that binding international law to some degree is actually an oxymoron. And when you make things binding, you also make countries risk averse about what they're actually going to promise and attempt, because they're worried about being called out if they fail. And everything we know about the climate change problem is that we don't know what the best strategies are. And so we want to encourage countries to take more risks, to go try lots of different things, and to be transparent about what's working and what's failing. And if you try and do all that in a framework that's legally binding, you end up with risk aversion and wariness about telling folks what's actually happening. And that's the opposite dynamic that what we need right now.
David Victor, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And that's Professor David Victor from the School of Global Policy and Strategy at the University of California.